thanks to some gentle prodding, this year I made it to my first General Assembly. Yay! I was excited to attend, and upon arriving in Spokane, I was feeling overwhelmed. I had been told by multiple people in a variety of ways that this was to be the most amazing experience I would have as a UU. Would my time here meet my expectations? The short answer, yes. Over these 5 days, I was gifted with 3 major takeaways. The first was the major awareness of our climate situation and the actions taken to promote that awareness. It was said that this assembly was the most environmentally friendly assembly we have held, and it showed. The convention center and surrounding hotels went to great lengths to create massive recycling stations. They sourced most or all of the energy they used from solar or wind power. And they created composting bins, bins they pledged to continue to use after our event was done. We affected a lot of change. The second takeaway was the services. Oh my goodness. At least one service every day filled with music and homilies and readings and stories and soulful sermons. My spirit overflowed. I felt loved by each person that stepped onto that stage. It made my head swim and my soul fly. If you have not yet been on the UUA site and listened to these services, I encourage you, please do so. You will not be disappointed. The third takeaway for me was the involvement of the youth. Wow. Wow. I know our youth and children are amazing. They are the absolute center of my purpose in this congregation and in this faith. And still, I find myself constantly impressed and inspired by them and the dedication to who they are and what we do. They were not only seen, but heard loud and clear. We heard their voices in services. We heard their voices in business meetings. We heard their voices in the workshops they attended and hosted. One particular workshop I attended was hosted by a DRE and 8 teens from a small congregation in Connecticut. A caregiver in their nursery had to leave suddenly. One teen spoke up. "I can help." In watching that teen, another teen spoke up. "I want to help too." Over the next year, more teens felt called to take up leadership positions throughout their religious education program. These youth shared stories about teaching, creating lesson plans, leading events, and even led us in hymns. We even sang Baby Shark. If you were unfamiliar with Baby Shark, please go and find one of our younger members and prepare to be entertained. Because of their dedication and excitement, that congregation's RE program tripled in size. All this had me asking, what are we seeing here in our own congregation? Have you seen Satcha stand right here and serve as your worship associate? Have you seen Carter head into an RE committee meeting and serve as the youth representative? Have you received your order of service from Tegan or Brenna when they help the greeters before first service? Have you seen Aitana's chalice art displayed in Fellowship Hall? Have you watched Maori set up classrooms before your child or grandchild head up with their friends? Have you smelled the pancakes that are being cooked up by Upper Elementary right now? Our children and youth are a vibrant force in our congregation. Look for them. Talk with them. Invite them in. This is their faith too, and they own it. They are proud to call themselves Unitarian Universalists, just as we are. And we cannot be we without them.
Hello, my name is Dalila Sankaran. What I found inspirational about going to General Assembly in Spokane, Washington is learning about another city, Spokane, with Canada geese, green pine trees, and a raging river right in the middle of the city. Meeting Reverend Nika and our UU members, sharing a delicious dinner together. Encountering a demonstration called Reading by Drag Queens at their city library. While one group mocked them across the street, our UUs were in the cheering crowd. Being with thousands of Unitarian Universalists from all over the country, there's so much positive energy from this diverse group of friendly people that I feel recharged just walking around the conference. I love the parade where each congregation carries their banners with pride while all applaud and cheer them on. The most memorable moment was the speech by our president, Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, in which she asked all of us to get out to vote in 2020. The most moving moment was when Obama's inaugural poet, Richard Blanco, read his poem, describing the experience of his immigrant Cuban Christmas party and what it meant to be an American. Attending GA supported our UU faith and reminded me that there are good people in the world. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Anaí Quiroz, and the congregation invited me to be a delegate for this year's GA. The first feelings of the power of we I experienced were when I was growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, and I attended assemblies every year. The programming was not a choice. There was no dancing, and there were no workshops. But I still loved attending because there was nothing like having the feeling of being with thousands of other people who share the same religious beliefs as you did. Chalice has invited me to attend General Assembly every year, and this is the first year that the stars aligned, the power of manifestation was at work, and it was God's will that I would take a plane the first time in 16 years to experience what it was like to be in a city where you are not welcomed. I did not feel safe the whole time that I was in Spokane. Every single time I stepped out of that convention center, I never saw someone that looked like me, not even in the hotel or in the restaurants. And when people looked at me, they looked at me with their mouth open as if they had never seen a Mexican woman before. Did you know that in 2018, there were 9 hate groups operating in the border between Spokane and the northern Idaho area? To me, this may have been why the Unitarian Universalist Association chose Spokane for this year's General Assembly. On Thursday, I supported the public witness action as a member of the safety team. We protected attendees while they were demanding smart justice for Spokane. We demanded jobs, not jails, mental health services, not sentences, and racial equity, not racial profiling. I was proud to be with young adults who also care about giving back to the community, young people who have had the same struggles when organizing and have experienced the same burnout as I have, young people who are also trying to figure out who they are and where they're going. During the actions of immediate witness, I was so proud the General Assembly unanimously approved the resolution on immigration and asylum, where we promised to support actions to protect and assist immigrants and asylum seekers in their attempts to lawfully enter and or remain in the United States. After we passed the resolution, I stood in front of the procedural mic to give thanks, and I told everyone that I was ready to stand in the middle of the fire and not shrink back. After I said that, I felt goosebumps throughout my body. But I also had this strong conviction in my heart, as our president is telling our brothers, our white brothers and sisters, to engage more in civil disobedience, that I am ready to take more risk because I have done the work of the Spirit. But the most interesting experience I had at GA, and this is an experience that I knew was going to happen, I just didn't know when. Meeting a former fellow Jehovah's Witness who attended a little tiny workshop on dreams. This was a little tiny program that you could barely see, and she was the only other person who attended and then the person that organized it. What were the odds? And that was not dream interpretation, but it was looking at the messages that dreams have for us, because dreams are not just for the dreamer, but dreams are to be shared. She told me that she had been a Jehovah's Witness for 7 years while she was a teenager, and she felt grateful for having that religious background because before that she was very shy and she didn't like public speaking. I also feel grateful for that background as a Jehovah's Witness because I learned not to fear man, and this will always be what helps me stand in the middle of the fire and not shrink back. I am here because of our mission, to nurture spiritually courageous people who want to transform the world through justice and compassion. Attending GA made me see how members of the UUA also have that mission. We use different words and we have so many different names, but we all believe we must speak truth to power, challenge the status quo, and show the world our faith through our actions. And I am so glad in Unitarian Universalism, I have found that community that will stand right beside me. Thank you.
Thank you all for sharing your important insights into this time together. So for those of you who participated in the climate march on Friday, can I see a show of hands here who participated? Or who were involved in the civil rights movement? Anyone here? Or the Women's March, or who've participated in any other movements in your life? You know the power of we, right? You know what a difference it makes when a large group of people turn their focus to an issue and demand change. When we work collectively, bringing in people from all sides to advocate for justice and equality. We know we can do so much more when we work together than when we're alone, when we bring all people's voices to the table. So I was curious when I attended this year's General Assembly how the power of we would manifest itself. How would we use our collective power as Unitarian Universalists? Now, you heard from some of our speakers that we used our collective voice to advocate in the public square and promote green values for our conference facilities. But I also wondered what it actually means to be a we as Unitarian Universalists when we all have such different perspectives, beliefs, cultures, and backgrounds. We know we value inclusion and acceptance, but can we really say that there's a unified we? Now, as many of you know, we've been working on decentering whiteness and the patriarchy in our denomination for the past several years. And this year at General Assembly, that work was more evident than ever before. This year, many of the usual leaders at GA, and you guessed it, it was mostly our older, straight, white male leaders who've been prominent voices in our denomination for centuries, were absent. Instead, the voices from the margins, those whom our society traditionally sidelines, people of color, LGBTQ folk, people with disabilities, were at the center of worship and leadership. And that made for a really different assembly. Now, in the past, there would have been reference to voices from the margins, appreciation of their gifts, and some leadership inclusion in worship and so on. But this year was different. This year, the previously marginalized were our leaders in all ways, and it was beautiful to behold. Now, as you might imagine, that took some of the straight white folk who've been coming for years and are used to doing things a certain way by surprise. There was some uproar that Robert's rules of order were not being followed in the traditional way, and that new ways of reaching consensus were employed. Business as usual was not being observed, so it was clearly uncomfortable for some. But my friends, isn't part of what we've signed up for as UUs to be uncomfortable? Doesn't our faith continually push us out of our comfort zone and call us to grow our hearts and minds? If we're truly to live into our values of being welcoming to all, then we need to welcome all those different perspectives. If we truly desire to build the beloved community, then all beloveds need to be empowered, respected, and heard. Now, I'll confess that as a white, cisgendered, heterosexual woman, I felt somewhat irrelevant. Inwardly, I felt uncool and even unwanted at times during this assembly. But of course, from what I've heard, many people from the margins have felt that way for a lifetime, for generations, actually. And that sense of being an outsider looking in. So as uncomfortable and confronting as it was, particularly during our ministers' conference this year, I reminded myself that this turnaround in our faith is vital. It was a great spiritual growth opportunity to challenge myself to stay present and open-hearted in the midst of my discomfort. To remember that my privilege as a straight white woman often insulates me from such experiences. And to be aware that if we're truly to claim that we're part of something larger and more inclusive, then those of us who've enjoyed privilege and are part of the majority actually need the experience of being marginalized. Of course, I was conscious that I had the freedom to step out onto the streets of Spokane and instantly feel a part of the majority again, which is, of course, quite unlike Anahi's experience. I had the privilege of walking around the hotel and conference center, noticing how easily I can get around. And I became more cognizant of how much easier it seems to be accepted and respected as a straight, white, able-bodied woman than as someone from the margins. So, as uncomfortable as it felt to be on the outside of this GA at times, and I had to do some processing about it, to not feel part of the in crowd, I realized too that this is the work we must do as a faith. This is work we must do to shift our power narrative as Unitarian Universalists and as a nation. This is work we must do to stop our society's unconscious acceptance that the white way is the right way. This is work we must do to begin to unravel and untangle white supremacy culture, which is so enmeshed in our society for the last 500 years. And the privileged among us need to be willing to step out of the center. Because for us to grow spiritually, we must be open to seeing the world through others' eyes, from a different perspective. Now, of course, it's hard to step away from unearned power and privilege. But my friends, I believe it's the only way we can truly create a beloved community. A truly beloved community. This is the kind of transformation that will create a powerful sense of we in Unitarian Universalism. A Unitarian Universalism in which no one is excluded. In which no one is made to feel less than. In which no one is marginalized or othered. And in which no one is left behind. A Unitarian Universalism in which all are truly welcome and all get to call this their faith and all belong. This, my friends, is our great turning as a faith. It's time now that we thrive as a collective, that all voices are at the table, that everyone is treated with equal dignity and worth, not just as an ideal that we aspire to, but as a living reality. For with this great turning, we shall learn to truly live our principles and values as Unitarian Universalists. With this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. And with that, I invite us to learn a song together that was the theme song at General Assembly this year. And we sang it every day, and I hope we'll sing it many weeks. A song that speaks of how we wish to be known as a faith and how we can truly learn to lead in love. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. We will...